Paranormal, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. The Beast of Gévaudan. The Gévaudan district in Languedoc, in the south of France, is a region of ancient mountains covered in forest. In the second half of the 18th century, it was a place to breed cattle. Life was hard, and the people were poor, if not to say miserable. It is the children who guarded the herds. They prevented them from straying and being eaten by wolves. On these mountains, wolves were part of everyday life. Frightening, sure, but the villagers knew how to defend themselves against these predators, who fear men as much as they are feared by them. However, the animal that would really terrorize the region for nearly 3 years fears no one. It attacks young shepherds rather than cattle. It is estimated that more than 200 of his victims were killed. But what was he? A wolf? A wolf dog? A werewolf? Was this animal motivated by its own ferocity, or did it kill on command? But on whose orders? Even today, there is no shortage of theories to shed light on the massacres perpetrated by the very mysterious Beast of Gévaudan. The first attack takes place in early summer 1764. A woman from the town of Langogne declares she's been attacked by an animal. She owes her life to her cows, who charged the beast to defend their calves. Horns versus fangs, the cows won this time. But on June 30th, Jeanne Boulet, 14 years old, is killed near Langogne, the victim of a ferocious beast. Marianne Hébrard, 14 years old, is his second victim on August 7th. Another young girl is killed the next day. Then a boy of 15 years on August 25th, another of the same age on September 1st, a woman of 36 years on September 6th, a child of 12 on September 16th. The death certificate of Madeleine Morat, age 12, includes a description. Attacked while she was driving her uncle's cattle, she was, quote, gnawed at the neck and breast by the ferocious beast that has been wreaking havoc for 5 months, end quote. The monster kills again on September 28th and October 7th. On October 8th and 10th, it wounds its next three victims. But this is only a respite, because on October 11th, Marie Solinac, a young shepherdess, dies under its fangs. The mourning Gévaudan trembles and wonders, what is this creature? What is this monster that attacks humans, children? Not a wolf, say the witnesses, who know how to recognize one when they see one. But a beast. In August, the inhabitants start organizing. They multiply hunts and drives to track down the bloodthirsty animal. Alerted to the seriousness of the situation, Monsieur de Saint-Priest, intendant for the Languedoc, and the Count of Montcalm, governor of the province, take matters in hand. The latter gives the order to Captain Duhamel, stationed in Langogne with the soldiers of the Clermont-Prince Light Troops Regiment, to lead the hunting operations against the animal. They begin on September 15th in the Mercoeur Forest. The inhabitants who wish to do so join in. The beast is never seen. It seems it has taken fright as it leaves the forest of Mercoeur and finds refuge towards the west, through the Margeride Hills, where it makes new victims beginning in October. On October 8th, while tending his cows, a young boy is attacked. Panic-stricken, he takes refuge in the middle of his animals, which form a rampart around him. He thinks his last hour has come when he hears voices, screams, and then gunshots. The hunters, appearing from the woods, immediately understand the danger. The beast, too, since it is now running away, held in check by conspiracy of cows and determined hunters. They fire and hit it twice. Twice the beast falls and gets up again. It runs for cover in the woods. The men now know the beast is vulnerable. It is wounded. They redouble their efforts and organize a new hunt immediately. But once again, the beast is nowhere to be found. Worse, the deadly attacks resume the following day. The carnage continues and rumors spread. It is said that the beast prowls the villages at night. It is said that it walks on its hind legs. It is said that someone in the forest has seen it transform. It is said that perhaps, no, surely, the beast is a werewolf. Its fantastic nature is confirmed by its seeming invincibility and ubiquity. It has indeed been reported in several places at once. In 1764, the ferocious creature attacked 30 people in total, killing 21 and injuring 5. 4 others saw it without being injured or killed. On December 31st, 1764, the Bishop of Mende, Count of Gévaudan, launches an appeal for prayer and penance. He describes the diabolical beast as a plague sent by God to punish men for their sins. He speaks of divine justice. Following this commandment, prayers for 40 hours are recited on 3 consecutive Sundays. However, the massacres continue. In January and February 1765, the hunts led by Duhamel prove fruitless. Once, and once only, does the beast seem to be hit, but it manages to run away. 18 attacks in January and 11 in February result in 17 dead and several wounded. The population complains about Duhamel's inefficiency and accuse his soldiers of not paying for their food and lodging and of destroying the crops. Captain Duhamel is powerless. After 18 months of fruitless tracking, he throws in the towel. With the lack of results from the hunts, the states of Languedoc meet and promise a 2,000-pound bounty to anyone who can kill the beast. In February 1765, a certain Denival comes to Versailles. He is a wolf hunter from Normandy who claims to have killed 12,000 wolves. He obtains permission from King Louis XV to go to Gévaudan and officially conduct hunts and drives. He swears that he will soon rid the country of this monster. But, like his predecessor, this self-proclaimed hero accomplishes nothing. In the hamlets, the population organizes its resistance as best it can, using common sense. The villagers, especially the young children who go out to tend the herds, are advised not to venture into the mountains alone. Advice unheeded by the 7 children of Le Villaret, 5 boys and 2 girls between the ages of 8 and 12, who are attacked as a group on January 12, 1765. Each is armed with a paradou, a stick at the end of which they've attached a sharp iron blade. The beast appears and attacks them, not the herd. It growls and turns around the children who have gathered to defend themselves. It pounces on the youngest and devours his cheek. The children scream, and the beast attacks again, seizing the arm of Joseph Panafieux, 9 years old, in between its jaws, and dragging the boy away. Some of the children begin to flee while the animal is occupied, but young Jacques Portefeuille urges the group to rescue their companion. Together, they follow the beast into a swamp, where it gets bogged down while struggling to drag its victim. The children wound it with their sharp paradous. No blow seems to hurt the beast. They try to hit it in the eyes and manage to make it let go of little Joseph and keep it at a distance. In doing so, they scream so loudly that they alert the neighboring villagers, who rush over to join them. Faced with the growing number of adversaries, the beast retreats and disappears into a nearby wood. The 7 children emerge alive and victorious from their encounter with the ferocious beast that has terrorized the region for months. Their courage makes them heroes. But the beast still roams free, and anger rumbles in Gévaudan. The story spreads throughout the countryside. The national press gets hold of the affair, which fascinates the entire kingdom. There's talk of the beast as far away as Great Britain. People begin whispering that the king of France sends 20,000 soldiers to Gévaudan to kill a cat, but that the cat ate them all. Louis XV is annoyed by this affair. The jokes must stop. He decides to send his own hunting lieutenant, François-Antoine de Beauterne, His Majesty's arquebus-bearer, the best hunter in the kingdom, it is said. After 3 months of intensive hunting, on September 20th, 1765, François-Antoine shoots a large wolf. Although it was shot on the other bank of the Allier River, where no victim was recorded, it is claimed this wolf is the famous beast. The animal is stuffed, exhibited at the Château de Besque, and then taken to Versailles. For King Louis XV, the kingdom is finally rid of this devilish creature. The beast is thus officially dead. Moreover, for 2 months, there's no more talk of the beast in Gévaudan. No archive mentions it. One might think that, since the king says that the beast is dead, it's no longer necessary to speak of it. But in fact, the attacks and the carnage continue. In 1766, 19 people are killed and 13 others wounded. By mid-June of 1767, 22 more are killed. The entire region is in mourning for its children. On May 16, 1767, it is little Marie Danty who dies under the fangs of the insatiable demon. Jean Chastel, a rather gruff fellow, swears to avenge her. Some say he has his bullets blessed. And indeed, he too kills a large wolf on June 19, 1767, during a hunt. It is customary to say that Chastel's wolf is indeed the beast, since no more crimes will be attributed to it. In Gévaudan, the people breathe, they rejoice, but they also wonder about the way Chastel killed it. He was seen calmly approaching a very large wolf, yoking it up, and shooting it without the wolf ever trying to escape. Did Chastel know him? Had he tamed it and trained it to kill? But if so, for what purpose? Why commit such massacres? The beast is dead, but the mystery continues. Even today, theories abound as to the nature of this beast. Every rational mind attributes these crimes to a wolf. There are, however, some points that contradict this theory. First of all, the locals and others who came into contact with the beast did not call it a wolf. The villagers were familiar with this animal. They feared it, and they knew it when they saw one. The perpetrator of these horrible crimes, though, was referred to as a beast, even a ferocious beast, but not as a wolf. For Gérard Ménatory, founder of the Gévaudan Wolf Park, the beast couldn't possibly be a wolf. According to his current successor, Sylvain Maquis, the wolf fears man and does not attack him unless he is enraged. According to them, the numerous testimonies of the time prove that it wasn't a wolf. Eyewitnesses described the animal as having red fur, a black stripe down its back, a flat mouth, and small ears. Better still, the predator shot by Chastel was autopsied on June 20th, 1767, the day after its death, and described precisely. We therefore know the number and size of its teeth, the size of its muzzle and ears, their spacing, the length of its legs, its claws, its body. We have all its measurements. It was concluded the beast must have been a hybrid of dog and wolf. The journalist Jean-Claude Bourret established a reconstruction from the autopsy and the testimonies of the time. He had a replica made of resin and polyurethane by about 30 specialists, which costs more than 150,000 euros. According to Bourret, the beast was a cross between a fighting dog descended from the Roman legions and a wolf. The phenomenon of hybridization between wolves and dogs does indeed exist, even if it is very limited in France. But this explanation doesn't convince everyone. Other theories still abound about the beast and its legend. Few people today seriously believe that a man disguised himself as a wolf to spread terror in Gévaudan. What disguise would have deceived the population for so long? No one supports the werewolf theory either, but some think of a hyena or a wild dog, an exotic animal escaped from a fair. For many, the question of whether the beast was a wolf or a hybrid isn't the most important. What matters is the reason for the killings. Why did this beast kill so many people? Was there not someone behind the beast? The Chastels, father and son, for example, were considered sorcerers in the village. When the father died, their house was razed and covered with salt. They were in the service of Jean-François de Moranges, Marquis of St. Alban. A notorious rogue, one could imagine that he employed the Chastels and their wolf to satisfy his sadistic urges. This would explain the fact that a wolf, which should flee men, wasn't afraid of them. And there are many testimonies of people who approached the beast without frightening it or being attacked. It seemed to some as docile as a cow. According to this theory, the beast was therefore a weapon. A weapon that had an arm to hold it, an arm called Chastel, who could have taken advantage of the victims. It would be easy to understand, then, why the blouses of some of the dead girls were unbuttoned, or why others had their heads cut off. A wolf or a wolf hound does not undress its victims, nor does it decapitate them. And more than a family name, there are several first names to take into account. Some believe that Jean Chastel, the one who killed the beast, was also its master and trainer, which explains why he could approach it so easily. But why kill the beast he trained to kill? To put an end to the despicable crimes of his son, Antoine, a sadist with uncontrollable impulses. It was the horribly mutilated body of little Marie Danty that finally made Jean Chastel react. He would, the theory goes, have decided to put an end to his son's killing spree by slaughtering the beast he used to kill children before having his way with them. Others think Antoine was the trainer. Antoine Chastel, a simple-minded sadistic version, would have fulfilled the will of his roguish master, the Marquis de Moranges. The latter, wishing to ridicule King Louis XV, whom he hated, might have wanted to embarrass the king on a field that was dear to him, hunting. Moranges, wishing to prove how ineffective the royal power was, would have imagined these crimes, which quickly became uncontrollable because of Antoine Chastel's taste for blood and young victims. Moranges would not have hesitated to terrorize the Gévaudan for several years and to sacrifice its inhabitants on the altar of his revenge. More than 250 years after the fact, the beast of Gévaudan divides the community of those interested in it. The supporters of the wolf theory call the others uneducated. The partisans of Moranges call all those who do not think like them ignorant amateurs, and all claim to hold the only possible truth. These sometimes virulent quarrels are the sign of an undiminished interest in this strange and sordid story. The bestiality of these crimes challenges us and sometimes fascinates us. If, as the Bishop of Mende affirmed, the beast was of diabolical origin, it is probable that this devil is of human nature. For no wolf is so cruel. No wolf is naturally sadistic. But how a man can become so beastly, such is undoubtedly the deepest mystery of this story. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.